This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Thank you so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. We got a busy show planned for you today as we are full speed ahead to Chiefs and Ravens. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll be joined by Pete Sweeney, the Plaid Prince, the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. At 4 o'clock, the professor, John Clayton, will be on the show. And at 4:30, our MVP, Rich Gannon. It is all systems ago for the biggest Monday night game since Chiefs and Rams back in 2018. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it's the sports machine, Sean Levine. Rob Britton, how you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. So, yeah, last night the Royals got mathematically eliminated, so their postseason hopes are officially done. So I figure, why not talk some football today?
So let's start here. Yesterday we had Therese Paylor on the show, and we asked him about the quarterback rivalry that is brewing between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and how for the previous generation we were very honored to get to watch Peyton Manning and Tom Brady play so many close, so many iconic, so many historic games. Can we see that same thing replicate itself with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? Here's what Therese Paylor had to say.
I don't know if it's just got to be Mahomes and Lamar. There's some great young quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Like, trust me, the league would love nothing more than Kyler Murray to be a bona fide star. And after reviewing his tape the last 2 weeks, I think we're headed there. That guy's going to have a huge season. No matter what game he's in or who he faces, he is always the fastest man on the field. He's an amazing player. Russell Wilson is still young enough to probably play for another decade or close to it. You know, there's some great young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, that we worry about the organizational structure around him. And then even more, Sean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. Justin Fields, people in the league I talk to love him. The quarterback position is in great hands in the NFL. They want more of the like Brady Manning thing. They want that again, but I think now, because of the way offenses have really evolved, you don't just have to rely on it being just Brady and Manning. I think the hope is that there's multiple matchups that can loom out there like that.
If you think about the quarterback generation that all three of us grew up in, we got to see Brady, a pocket passer. Peyton Manning, a pocket passer. Ben Roethlisberger, certainly mobile, but we wouldn't call him a scrambler. He can elude defenders, big physical guy, but no one would say that he is a running style quarterback. Drew Brees in that same vein. Phillip Rivers, you put in that exact same vein. More pocket passers, maybe athletic enough to move, but not really guys that can really beat you with your legs. I think this is the quarterback matchup of the future. You have the elite level passer in Patrick Mahomes, but he's also athletic enough where, as we've seen time and time again, whether it was the Titans, whether it was last Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers, he can beat you with his legs if necessary. You then turn to the other side. Lamar Jackson, maybe the most mobile quarterback we have seen in the history of the NFL. And then think of two of the names that were thrown out there. Kyler Murray, a guy that you really like, Heisman Trophy winner, one of the more mobile quarterbacks in the NFL. Justin Fields, who I think is going to be a top five pick out of Ohio State. I think we are seeing that this new generation is going to be more mobile and more athletic than any generation that we saw, and these two guys are at the forefront of it.
Oh, of course. The quarterback position's completely changed. Trevor Lawrence is kind of a pocket passer, but all those other guys that you just named, that new generation of quarterback, they're all dual threat guys, right? You said Pat, Lamar, Deshaun. I'll throw in Joe Burrow. How about Tua? I mean, all these different dudes. So Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, anybody that's come along, I would say, in the last 10 years is not a typical pocket passer. Now, you talk about this matchup between Pat and Lamar Jackson. It's the ultimate matchup of the huge arm versus the guy who not only can throw the football. We saw Lamar Jackson lead the league last year with 36 touchdown passes, but also was able to run. Funny enough, see, out of all these different guys, and I don't want to take anything away from Pat's running ability, because sometimes his arm is so good that he doesn't have to use his legs. We saw him get that big first down on third down and 20. He got exactly what he needed. I would say one of, if not the most impressive play so far in his young career has been with his legs. But there's pretty big separation in what Lamar Jackson does when it comes to running the football and what Patrick Mahomes does on a football field.
I would also think that this is a quarterback matchup that sort of changes perception. And what I mean by that is I'm going to give you the list of every Big 12 quarterback that was drafted prior to Patrick Mahomes, because one reason why I wanted the Chiefs to draft Deshaun Watson out of Clemson was there was no track record of Big 12 quarterbacks having success in the NFL. I thought the style of offense that they played, the defenses that they went up against, the reads that they had to make, it just didn't have a track record of translating. But I think we're seeing that the game is starting to change. These were all the quarterbacks that played in the Big 12 who got drafted in the first round prior to Patrick Mahomes. Vince Young, Josh Freeman, Sam Bradford, Blaine Gabbert, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon. Those were all the quarterbacks. Who's the best out of that group? Are we throwing RG3 for the 15 games that we got to see from him at a very high level? I think Pat has changed the perception, and you make the point about how Pat opened the door up for somebody like Baker Mayfield to be the number one overall pick. His success has opened up the door for Kyler Murray to be the number one overall pick. I look at these two quarterbacks as changing perceptions as well. Lamar Jackson, you and I have been told our entire lives that quarterbacks that play with that style just don't work in the NFL, that college style offenses, they don't translate. Defenses are too fast, safeties are too fast, linebackers are too fast. You can't run a read option, triple option type offense. You were seeing a quarterback where I don't know if Lamar Jackson maybe works in 2000 or 1995, but he is perfect for the new era. And I think he goes to really embody a lot of these other young guys, that the game is evolving in such a way that allows them to be at the forefront of it.
Oh, it definitely would not have worked back then. I mean, you saw Tommy Frazier play at Nebraska, right? I don't remember him ever taking an NFL snap. Maybe he did, but he probably would have been a first-round pick right now. Think about Charlie Ward. Charlie Ward, remember him for Florida State? He went on to play for the New York Knicks because the position has just changed so much. So I do think that the Chiefs are going to have – the good thing about practicing against Patrick Mahomes every single week for this defense is there's not a better quarterback than you can go up against in the actual game. But the quarterback that they're going to face in this actual game certainly presents different issues. We had Pat on Monday, and I was saying, what's one thing that you wish that you could do that Lamar Jackson does? And he basically said, just that breakaway speed. When Pat got the first down on third and 20, he said Lamar probably would have scored. And that's the truth. But I also don't know the longevity of that. If we're talking about the now, and you want me to say, okay, who are the two best quarterbacks in football? I'll say it's the two guys we're going to see on Monday night. I'll go Pat 1, and I'll go Lamar 2. But I don't think we're having this conversation 5 years from now, only because of what you said. We've never seen a quarterback that's had the success that Lamar Jackson plays, that style of football, that's been able to last. Maybe you could say Mike Vick, but we all know how his career's panned out. So let's see if 4 or 5 years from now, Lamar Jackson's still one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, because it only takes one hit. One time he gets squared up, and then all of a sudden, he ain't the same guy.
I mean, this is a game that's also pretty historic when you think about having two players under 25 who have already won an MVP. We were making this point when it came to Justin Herbert, how we are now at the point where, to me, quarterbacks, they can start earlier. It used to be where you needed 3 years to sort of evaluate where your quarterback was, that they had to get acclimated to the NFL pro-style offense. Man, that's the way of the dodo bird here. Like, you're seeing if your quarterback's not ready by year two, where year two quarterbacks are winning MVP. Kyler Murray has a legitimate shot of winning MVP. Lamar Jackson in his second year at 22, 23 years old wins MVP. Patrick Mahomes at 23, 24 wins MVPs. We are seeing quarterbacks come in more advanced than we've ever seen at the position, too, where their prime starts a little bit earlier than we used to think. We used to think that quarterback's prime was at 27, 28. Pat's not in his prime right now. Lamar's not in his prime right now. Kyler Murray isn't on the fringe of what his prime is with his athletic ability. Like, we're just seeing guys who have that transcendent athletic ability. We're seeing that they're They're where 27, 28, 29-year-old quarterbacks now at 21, 22, and 23.
Either that or those guys haven't hit their prime yet, which is scary as hell for the rest of the league to imagine that Patrick Mahomes in a couple of years is going to be the best version of himself. But a lot of their early success also, C-Dot, is where they landed. Like Lamar Jackson was in a pretty good situation with a pretty good team, with a head coach that had already won a Super Bowl with some really nice parts around him. Now, has he overachieved? Hell yes, he's overachieved. The guy's lost 3 regular season games so far in his entire NFL career. But a lot of times the early success that you're talking about for these quarterbacks, it's not so much about them. It's about their coach and the talent around them.
Coming up next, so we talked about quarterbacks of the future, which Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are. Let's talk about a quarterback of the past, Tyrod Taylor, with one of the most bizarre injuries we've seen in the NFL. We'll discuss it. Stick around next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, lock this phone number in, 913-576-7610, so you can text the show. So there was a tweet earlier today from Adam Schefter of ESPN. The tweet reads as follows: the Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's lung, just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs. League and team sources tell ESPN. A couple of days ago, I think you and I asked the question of why do the Chargers continue to have these season-long crippling injuries at a pace that's more than the rest of the NFL? I think we are starting to get the answer to that question when we find out about their medical team. I will say this. I do think it explains why Anthony Lynn is so protective over Tyrod Taylor in this instance. They always say you can't lose your job to an injury, but it's one thing to lose your job to a football injury. He goes out there like Drew Bledsoe. He gets hit. Tom Brady comes in. He lights the world on fire. And then Drew Bledsoe never gets his job back. It's another thing for your quarterback to lose his job because of malpractice from the team doctor. So I do think that you and I sort of had our questions of why Anthony Lynn seems so protective over Tyrod Taylor the last couple of days. I think we have the answer to our question.
Yeah, legally, it sounds like Tyrod Taylor probably turn around and be like, hold on. It was the team doctor that punctured my lung, which is the reason why I couldn't play. So Anthony Lynn, it sounds like he was almost forced into a corner. You know, like he kind of had to say what he had to say. Although it sounds like their team doctor is either Dr. Dre or Dr. Kevorkian. And I don't know if it's a real doctor. I mean, Derwin James, Russell Okung, whoever their center is this year, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry. Like, this is just the last year and a half. And this is just off the top of my dome, guys that have gotten hurt. And I'm not talking about Chiefs-type injuries. Frank Clark, where they're out for a week or two, their stomach hurts, and they come back. These are season-ending. These are career-changing injuries. If it's the same doctor, if we're talking about one guy that's at the top that makes these decisions, that actually performs the surgeries, then that dude should be fired. He's terrible at his job.
I want to play for you Marcus Spears, who played in the NFL. He is shocked over what happened with Tyrod Taylor.
Man, I've seen 1,000 shots administered in locker rooms before a game, and I have never heard of this happening. So I just don't understand how it gets to this point with a doctor that is doing these on a major basis. Players get painkiller shots every Sunday. Like, it's not just Tyrod may not, but my point is every player, every guy that's been in the league has either seen or been a part of taking shots to kill pain. But to hear that a lung was punctured just blew my mind. I mean, the first thing I thought about was, how? Like, these dudes are professionals and people can make mistakes, but you get to a point where you're like, dang, man, it is something you have administered over and over again, and you puncture the lung doing it?
There's some organizations that would certainly get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the health and well-being of their players. I don't know how much of that we can give the Los Angeles Chargers, given what we've seen from them. The whole situation just seemed bizarre. Like, when you're sitting there watching the game, Tyrod tries to go work out. He goes over to the sideline. He's really uncomfortable, and then you get a surprise starter. Like, I remember the tweets and some of the reaction immediately, and I didn't think it was a play. Like, I don't think the plan the entire time was, hey, let's not tell the media that Justin Herbert's going to start this game and let's catch the Chiefs off surprise. Again, now I think we have the answer over the last 48 hours, last 72 hours with how the Chargers have maybe communicated when it came to Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. Just a very bizarre situation that could only happen to the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's right. And sometimes when you hear news like that from afar, you're like, oh man, that sucks to be them. Just put yourself in those shoes, though. What if that was our guy? What if that was Patrick Mahomes, and for whatever reason, he had to get a pain injection, and the doctor went out there and punctured his lung? There would be riots. There would be an absolute uproar here in Kansas City. Now, I'm not saying that because it happened to Tyrod Taylor, there was less, but the truth is, not as many people talk about that guy. Are you under the impression that the doctor, that the actual needle punctured his lung? Because that sounds like the most brutal thing ever. I mean, my goodness. Like you're saying, you would think that for an NFL quarterback that makes all the money, that has such an impact on the franchise, that you would make sure that you are 100% positive what you're doing, and then you would have backup. It's hard to imagine that right before a game, this gets administered to the starting quarterback, and it goes so bad where the needle punctures his lung. It's almost unfathomable.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about how the Chiefs and the Ravens find themselves in the same but very different situation for both of them. Since we're talking about health, let's talk about the health of the Kansas City Chiefs heading into this game. The Chiefs have been very banged up. It's only so much you can criticize the Chiefs for not playing their A game when they don't have their full complement of weapons, especially on defense. Your D-line is banged up. Your secondary is banged up. Frank Clark left the game. Sammy Watkins left the game. Like, this team isn't really coming in very healthy, where over the next 24 hours, as we hear from Andy Reid tomorrow, because the media availability got pushed back a day because they're playing on Monday as opposed to normally playing on Sunday, I'm going to have my eye on what's the status of Frank Clark. Frank Clark might not be the 15, 16 sack guy, but he's probably their best run stopping defensive lineman that they have. They need him to set the edge against a team that we know wants to run the ball 35 or 40 times. When you're going up against the best cornerback grouping in the NFL that I believe Baltimore has, you want to have your full complement of pass catching options. Sammy Watkins would certainly be great in this game, how he opens the field up for Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs, it's not at the level it was last season, but going into one of their biggest games of the year, very banged up.
And they had so many injuries last year and were able to overcome it and go 12-4 and win the Super Bowl that I'm not really worried early on because of the guys that you're talking about. It's kind of like in middle school, there's this girl named Jamie that I felt like every single day she had to go to the nurse's office for this or for that. Her stomach hurt. She had a headache. She thought that she caught a cold. She was always going to the nurse's office, and it's like, okay, well, now I just expect it to happen. With Sammy Watkins and Frank Clark, they're Jamie from my middle school. Like, if you tell me those guys are hurt, I expect them to be hurt. When Sammy Watkins went off the field, I thought that was going to happen. When you told me a couple of days ago that Frank Clark's stomach was upset and that's why he wasn't playing well, that's what I expected to hear. So if we're talking about Charvarius Ward and some of these other injuries, we can have that conversation. But are we really going to talk about Sammy Watkins getting hurt?
I actually feel bad for Sammy Watkins' injury because I think Sammy Watkins got hurt on a dirty hit. Like, I'm with you. I do think if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you got a plan for at some point this season, you're not going to have Sammy Watkins, but let's not throw him in Frank Clark. Like, Frank Clark has the same issue that he's always had since he's been here in Kansas City. I don't really know as much about it with Seattle, and we could talk to John Clayton when he comes on later about what kind of issues Frank Clark had with this, but I think Sammy Watkins was out with a dirty hit. Like, I expect over the next 24 to 48 hours, I expect to see a fine on that hit. That's a hit that the NFL keeps telling me they're trying to legislate for the game. Think about if you hit a quarterback that way. Think if Kyler Murray was diving to the field and somebody took a shot at his neck in that way. You'd be ejected from the game and you'd be fined $50,000. So I'm with you on Sammy Watkins and him being unreliable when it comes to injuries. I think it's unfair to throw it on him in this instance.
Yeah, it's just he gets injured so often that I, to be honest with you, when I said it, I forgot the play that happened until you just brought it up. I just remembered Sammy Watkins got hurt because it seems like death taxes and Sammy Watkins is going to go out of the game in the second half. Those things just happen. But they're going to need Charvarius Ward to be healthy. And it's good that they get back MV Pinnell for this game. I know that sometimes we joke around and talk about how he should be the MVP of the defense and all these things. But the truth is, the run defense, I mean, the last time the Chiefs lost, period, was last year versus the Tennessee Titans. Remember who was a coaches inactive for that game? Mike Pinnell. And I genuinely believe, remember how the game ended? It was a three-point game. If he's in there, is he a three-point difference based on what the Tennessee Titans did on the ground? Yeah, I think he is. So getting him back for this particular game is pretty big.
Coming up in a little bit, we will talk about how the Chiefs and the Ravens are in the exact same situation, but in a very different situation. But first, we're talking about injured quarterbacks. I want to play what Brett Favre has to say about two non-injured quarterbacks. They just stink.
Yeah, I think it's way premature to think either guy is over the hill. I think physically speaking, they're fine. I mean, you're not asking Drew Brees or Tom Brady to be Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson. What they do, the way they play, and how they played for so many years, they still have that. You know, they're not asked to be very mobile. If you can protect them, they'll pick you apart. I still think that's there's no difference today than 8 years ago.
That is Brett Favre. He was on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. He is right. Nobody is asking Brady or Brees to be Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. Can they be Ryan Tannehill? Can they be Kirk Cousins? Can they be Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, I would say they haven't even cleared that bar yet, and there is no better person to ask about losing your fastball, losing your athleticism, and playing way past your prime better than Brett Favre.
And Tom Brady is old enough to be Patrick Mahomes' dad. I say that. Let me do some quick math. 43, 25. Yeah. Yeah, Tom Brady's old enough to be Patrick Mahomes' dad. So at this point in his career, I don't think that we can hold Tom Brady to the level of the best quarterback in football.
Coming up next, we'll talk about how the Chiefs and the Ravens find themselves in the exact same but a very different place. I'll explain what I mean. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, we have a toss-up question to get into coming up in about 5 minutes or so. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. Pete Sweeney will join the show coming up in about 30 minutes. Let's get you the breaking news right now in the NFL. Justin Herbert. It is official. He will be the starter for the Los Angeles Chargers against the Carolina Panthers. It has been confirmed by Anthony Lynn. Tyrod Taylor, not 100%. Anthony Lynn on the Tyrod Taylor situation. If you missed it, when he got his painkiller injection on Sunday's game, it punctured his lung. Quote, "I'm not angry at all. No one's perfect. The doctor is a good man. It's just unfortunate." That is Anthony Lynn, coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, on the Tyrod Taylor situation. So Justin Herbert is going to get the run with the ones this week against the Carolina Panthers. This is a really good test for Herbert. We don't got to spend a whole lot of time talking about it, but this is a really good test. You can score on Carolina. It's one thing to come in and the other team doesn't really know your game plan, doesn't know your strengths and weaknesses. They're not preparing for you to be the starter. Carolina knows you're going to start. They get a whole game film to watch of you. I'm going to be curious to see how Herbert performs now as being the starter. And I understand that the Chargers don't want to take Tyrod Taylor's job away from him, especially given everything that's happened. But if Herbert comes out there, jumpstarts this offense, and balls out, they're going to be faced with a very difficult decision.
I mean, Herbert's test is definitely his second test easier than his first when you have to face the Carolina Panthers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. No question about that. But if you're Tyrod Taylor, I mean, dude was getting an injection to take away the pain, and then it ended up puncturing his lung. You know what it sounds like? I remember one time I was at the dentist office, and I was getting a crown or something, and they give you that, what's it called, the stuff that makes you feel all goofy? You know what I'm talking about?
Novocaine.
They give you the Novocaine, and the doctor's like, "Can you feel it?" And they keep doing stuff. I'm like, yes, I can still feel it. It's the worst pain in the world. And guess what? I did not go back to that dentist. If I'm Tyrod Taylor, he's saying the right things, but I'm pissed off. I mean, think about it. You had an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL at the back end of your career. The coach obviously likes you, and because of a doctor's mistake, basically malpractice, he didn't get to go in there. And if, like you said, Justin Herbert plays well, he doesn't go back in there. So it's kind of funny, you know, what happened to him, but it could have cost a guy his job.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll get to a toss-up question. I was thinking this because earlier today I went on a Baltimore station on their morning show, and they were asking me how Chiefs fans perceive the Ravens, how Chiefs fans perceive the rest of the AFC. And I said, there is great respect for the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think there's great respect for the other teams in the AFC. I don't think there's great respect from Chiefs fans for Buffalo, New England, or Pittsburgh, or Tennessee. It's we're on this island by ourselves, and the rest of you are playing catch up. I would say that almost mirrors how I think Chiefs fans feel about the quarterback situation. And you should feel that way. You got the best one in the NFL, but there aren't too many teams that I would say if we did your old school check the boxes, you would feel sort of neutralized the advantage that the Chiefs have in quarterback. Think about it. In probably 13 out of the 16 games the Chiefs play, they have by far and away the quarterback advantage, and you're not even really afraid of the other team's quarterback. Think about week one. Watson, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. There wasn't a whole lot of that's a guy that can really go out there and beat you and really take advantage of your defense. They're going up against a quarterback that can't. I would say Baltimore finds themselves in the exact same situation. We've got the best quarterback in the NFL. We're not really afraid of anybody else. But you should be afraid about Patrick Mahomes. I feel like these two teams are in the exact same place, in a very new place. You're going up against someone as equally talented as your quarterback, and that's something that only happens maybe 2-3 times a season.
And Lamar's definitely the best quarterback on the Chiefs' schedule the first month, but it's not like they faced scrubs. It's not like they went out there and went up against, you know, Mitchell Trubisky and then Marcus Mariota. They went up against Deshaun Watson. Now they got to face Lamar Jackson, and then coming up a week from Sunday, they got to face Cam Newton. So certainly this is going to be the biggest test. This is going to be the one where I think that every level of the defense has to stay home. This can't be the type of thing where, what do we always say about Chris Jones and oftentimes about Frank Clark? They get out of position, they get aggressive, they try to get the sack. This is not the game for that, because against Lamar Jackson, even much more so than Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton and any other dual threat quarterback, this dude can actually beat you a bunch of different ways.
I think there's only three other quarterbacks in the NFL that you feel are worthy adversaries to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not talking about defensively, because there's defenses that give this Chiefs team problems. I'm saying is, in a quarterback matchup, you feel like Mahomes is going up to somebody who is even close to being in his class. You're playing one of those quarterbacks. I'm not throwing Cam Newton in that category just yet. Let's see him play more than two games in his new system. If they were playing Seattle, we'd have the same level of excitement seeing the young gun Patrick Mahomes go up against the 30-year-old wily veteran Mr. Unlimited and Russell Wilson. You'd also feel that way about Aaron Rodgers. You remember last year, we felt like we got cheated because we were supposed to see Sunday Night Football, Rodgers against Mahomes, who knows how many times we get to see it. That was a game that everybody had circled. This is one of the few times that whether the Chiefs or the Ravens can feel like they're playing against a worthy adversary for their quarterback.
Right, but all those franchises would take our guy, wouldn't they? Like, if you're the Packers, you know that Aaron Rodgers at the end of his rope. Russell Wilson is probably going to be the MVP.
I don't know if Baltimore would. I think Baltimore is the only one that would.
Oh, they sure. They wouldn't tell you. Like, publicly, they wouldn't say it. But I think that they know that the style that Patrick Mahomes plays, and he's not a statue of a quarterback. We've seen, hell, he led the team in rushing last game out. He kind of is a guy that is on the best. He's a better thrower on the run. And then you've got Lamar Jackson, who, as good as he's throwing the football, I don't want to take anything away from that. He led the league in touchdown passes last year with 36, and it's probably an underrated facet to his game. The best part of his game is running the football. And when you run the football as often as he does, remember, he gained over 1,000 yards last year. At some point, you get squared up. And it might not be this year, might not be next year, but the year after that. So I'm pretty sure that if you had Baltimore's general manager and their brass attached to a polygraph test, and you said, all right, for the next 10 years, you can either have Patrick Mahomes, you can have Lamar Jackson. They'd probably lie and say Lamar Jackson, but that thing would start to go crazy.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what Baltimore would do in that scenario. I think Baltimore has sort of 100% adapted to what their quarterback can do and really fit the style of their player. I think he's the only player and the only team that really thinks about it. I think Seattle makes that trade because they have the older version of Patrick Mahomes. I think Arizona may feel that way about their quarterback here coming up in a little bit. But he just doesn't have the experience yet that you would probably take it. But Baltimore's the one team I think they would say, we're fine with our quarterback. I don't think they have the concerns that maybe you have about Lamar long term.
Oh, I think Baltimore, again, publicly they would say that we think we got the best guy, but privately, I think that anybody that knows football will tell you that Patrick Mahomes is just a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. And I get it. I'm a homer and I work at 610 and we're the official partner of the Chiefs and we talk to Pat every single week. So people are like, well, you have to say that. No, I don't. I've watched every snap that Pat's taken. I've watched a bunch of Lamar Jackson. And to me, like, even if we want to say, C-Dot, that these are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I get it. They both won the MVP last year. Lamar won more games than Pat. Just based on my eye test alone, Patrick Mahomes is just a better quarterback. In fact, a significantly better quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to a brand spanking new Levine's List. But first, let's get to a toss-up.
So both these guys have won the MVP, and they've only been in the league for a couple of years. My question, Carrington, is, you'll remember each one of their MVP seasons. Lamar Jackson just last year, through the air, 3,100 yards, 36 touchdowns, which led the league, and only 9 picks. Oh, by the way, he also had 1,200 yards on the ground to go along with 7 touchdowns, and his team was the number one seed. They went 14-2. Patrick Mahomes' MVP season, threw four, let's call it 5,100 yards. It was 5,097, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and had another 272 on the ground with 2 touchdowns. And his team played in an AFC championship game. So take the playoffs out of it and just what they did during their MVP regular seasons. Which one had the more impressive MVP year? Was it Lamar or was it Pat?
I think it's Pat. I think Pat's year was more, I think it was more dominant. I think it was more impressive. I think that you can replicate Lamar's season. Now, I don't think it's too many players that can do it, but I look at Kyler Murray. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in his career he throws for 3,000 yards and runs for 1,000 yards because I think he's that dynamic
of
a player. I don't think there's any player in the NFL currently, other than Patrick Mahomes, right now who can throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdown passes. Maybe Trevor Lawrence gets to that place when he gets in the NFL. I'm not as high on Trevor Lawrence as some other people are. I don't think there is a player right now, and I got all the respect in the world for Lamar, all the respect in the world for Russell Wilson. I don't think they're 5,050 touchdown guys. Again, I think that we'll see some other quarterback in the NFL with how it's trending throw for 3,000 and run for 1,000 yards. Maybe they don't win MVP, but they have that kind of dynamic season. I don't think we'll see anybody pass the level that Pat's. I would take his season.
I would take Pat's also because of the 50 touchdown passes, and I get it. These days we were just talking about the quarterback looks a lot different in 2020 than it did in 2000. Right, you look at Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. They play a completely different style than a Tom Brady, a Ben Roethlisberger, a Drew Brees, a Phillip Rivers. So no, I don't want to take anything away from what Lamar Jackson did because he's exact. If that's what you want, a dual threat quarterback that's just as good at running the football as he is at throwing the football, well then Lamar Jackson's your guy. You could not have a more physical specimen that does both of those things well. But to me, the most important thing the quarterback can do is not be a dual threat, is not run the football. It's actually stay in the pocket, be good on the run, but still be able to complete those passes, especially downfield. I just saw this stat. Patrick Mahomes, already in his young career, has 30 touchdown passes of 20 yards or more. Think about that. Already, he's got 30 touchdown passes of 20 yards or more. So it's one of those things where Pat's arm, to me, is what separates him from Lamar Jackson because of his accuracy. Lamar Jackson, I don't know if you saw the skill set competition last year in the Pro Bowl, but he was just all over the place. To me, that's the one thing that he needs to improve on. And you look at Pat, how often does he put that ball exactly where it needs to be? I think Lamar Jackson's great. I just think that Pat is one step ahead.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to a brand spanking new Levine's List. These two teams, very familiar at the head coaching position. As Andy Reid, he's going up against another coach off his tree in Jim Harbaugh.
Maybe his best branch.
John Harbaugh, excuse me. Jim Harbaugh, yeah. Coaches the coach of Michigan.
Johnny, his brother. And probably his best branch, if you think about it, what John Harbaugh's done. I mean, John Harbaugh already having won a Super Bowl. Last year got his team to the number one overall seed. So those other branches you could compare him to. You got Doug Peterson. You got Ron Rivera. You got Sean McDermott. You got Brad Childress, you got Matt Nagy, you got Leslie Frazier, you got Todd Bowles, you got Pat Shermer, you got Steve Spagnuolo. There's a bunch of branches off this tree, but a lot of those guys have either had a ton of success as coordinators or recent success as NFL head coaches, a guy like a Matt Nagy, a guy like a Doug Peterson, for example. But if you want to talk about what's the thickest branch, what's the one you're going to put that treehouse on, it's got to be John Harbaugh. And for some reason, C-Dot, it's more me. I talk about Belichick being the best coach. I think Andy Reid second. And then we bring up two other names. We bring up Sean Payton and we bring up Pete Carroll. For some reason, John Harbaugh doesn't get talked about nearly as much as he should.
Yeah, Harbaugh should definitely be in the top five when I think when it comes to coaches, especially what they've done with Lamar Jackson. And they have just created an offense around a very different player. Think about it. Not many teams, I think, are able to adjust on the fly and go from Joe Flacco, who plays a very different play style than Lamar Jackson, and really hit the ground running. Like, they have been the best regular season team in football since they made the switch to Lamar Jackson. Like, think about how hopeless the Ravens looked with Joe Flacco, and it was like, hey, it's done. When are you going to throw the young guy in there? They threw the young guy in there, and again, they have been the best regular season team in the NFL since then. I think what makes Andy Reid so unique and so much different than someone like Bill Belichick is he empowers his assistants and gives them the skills necessary to go on and be a good head coach in the NFL. Bill Belichick has done a lot of great things in the NFL. He is the best coach, number one with the bullet in the NFL. This is an area that he's really weak at. Like, he hasn't developed those assistants. He hasn't shown a guy like John Harbaugh, hey, I'll give you the tools necessary. You can go be a coach for 15 years in the NFL. Look at somebody like Sean McDermott, who I think is one of the nice up-and-coming coaches in the NFL. Like, if you want to see what makes Reed different, what separates him from everybody else, it's the fact that he has empowered his assistant coach to go on and have this success. And I think we could say, what are the two fastest ways for you to get a job in the NFL? I would say work with Bill Belichick will get you a job, and also be the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid. Those are the most surefire ways for you to get a head coaching job in the NFL. And for the most part, those guys have success.
Belichick's coaching tree sucks. It's almost unbelievable how bad it is. Like, has somebody not watered that thing? Has it not gotten any sun? Who's the best branch on the Belichick tree? Is it Bill O'Brien? It's not Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, it's probably Bill O'Brien.
It's not Romeo Crennel. It's not Steven. What's his, McDaniel's name? I can't remember that guy's first name.
Josh.
It's not Matt Patricia. Are we like, really? It's Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien would be the sixth or the seventh. He'd be where Ron Rivera is for Andy Reid. And I think
Ron Rivera's made a Super Bowl, so I don't even know if I can throw Bill O'Brien in that category with Ron Rivera. Like, Ron Rivera, I think, is a better coach than Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that's one thing that Andy Reid has always, he's always empowered his coaches, and he's also enjoyed them going on to have success. And I feel like Bill Belichick, and I don't know the guy personally, haven't met him on the show, but I don't know if he does. I feel like he would rather keep his guys to have the success, to have people pat him on the back, opposed to Andy Reid. I genuinely believe that Andy Reid will do everything and wants Eric Bieniemy to become a head coach. If Spags decides that he wants to maybe try to become a head coach again because it didn't go well the first stop, I think that Andy Reid will give him his blessing. And same thing with Mike Kafka. I think that Andy enjoys watching those guys have success, where maybe Bill Belichick would rather retain those guys on his staff so he could keep getting the credit.
I also think, too, I think if you were any mentoree and you have a mentor, it is your human nature to try to copy their style and take some of their things. It's really difficult to copy Belichick's style. Like, Belichick has reached this point where he can just do things and operate differently than other coaches in the NFL. So I think what happens is a lot of these coaches, a lot of these people that work in the front office, they want to take the Patriot way with them. Well, if you're not taking Bill Belichick, then the Patriot way just doesn't work. It's not even just Tom Brady. It is, I am the best coach in the NFL. I know the rules better than you do. I know X's and O's better than you. I can out-scheme better than you. That's just not really something you can replicate. I would say it's the same way how Michael Jordan might not be a good owner, because you always look for people who have the same characteristics you have. Well, you're Michael Jordan. That's what makes you special. And we see guys like that really struggle. I think that can be Belichick's thing, is he's so good at certain things, and when people try to copy it and then take a lesser form of it, you turn into the Lions. You turn into Romeo Crennel. You turn into Mark Mangini that tried to copy the Belichick way. I don't really think you can copy the Belichick way. I think the Reed way is much more easy to copy.
Not now, because they got Patrick Mahomes. Like, in the past, when he had a good quarterback in Donovan McNabb, or a good quarterback in like a Mike Vick, then you could say, well, just go out there and do what the Eagles do. Get a good quarterback, put a bunch of talent around him, have a good defense and a good running game and a great head coach. But when you've got Pat, we were just talking about this, C-Dot, other teams are going to try to do what the Chiefs are doing, the same way that other teams try to do what the Patriots are doing. And my advice would be, don't do that. We say this all the time. You don't necessarily fight fire with fire. You fight it with water. And the best way to stop the Chiefs might be to build a defense to try to slow down Patrick Mahomes instead of trying to find the next Patrick Mahomes.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. But coming up, let's get to a brand spanking new Levine list.
Well, you're not going to find the Chiefs on this particular list, nor the Baltimore Ravens, because these are the 10 worst teams in football. All these teams are 0-2. In fact, there's 11 teams right now in the NFL with an imperfect 0-2 record. The only one I left off, C-Dot, the Texans. Because do we know if the Texans suck? They've played the Chiefs and the Ravens.
I mean, I don't think they suck. I just don't think they're a playoff team. But I don't think the Texans suck by any means.
You know who sucks? My team from last year. I love this team, and now I don't. I'm off the Viking ship, the Minnesota Vikings. They are absolute hot trash, and Kirk Cousins has finally come back down to earth. At number 9, another guy that I liked, Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, I was wrong about that.
I never understood that.
I don't know why I was all about that. I really don't. The Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater are an absolute train wreck at number 9. That's a bad football team. They're going 6-10. At number 8, I don't know why you thought this team was going to be good heading into this season or last year or even the year after they won the Super Bowl. It was smoke, mirrors, and luck, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a semi-talented football team, but just doesn't fit.
I mean, right now their problem is the quarterback. I don't really think it's the talent as much. I think injuries have bit them again. Like right now their wide receiver group is very decimated, but Carson Wentz is just bad. Like Carson Wentz is one of the five worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Like I don't care how good your roster is. You're not good enough to overcome the five worst quarterback in the league.
And this was supposed to be the year that he takes the next step forward. I've got Carson Wentz in the same family as like Jared Goff. Even though we're 5 years into this thing, I don't know if you're good or bad. At number seven, the Falcons. You can't get a lead the way that they did last Sunday against a good football team, in my opinion, the Cowboys, and blend both the way you did. That's going to affect them the entire season. They're going to win four games this year. That's a bad team. Speaking of four wins, that's what the Bengals are going to do this year. And I like Joe Burrow out the gates. I think he's been pretty good, and he clearly fits in. And I wouldn't be surprised if 2 or 3 years down the line we're talking about a playoff team, but not yet, sir.
I've been really impressed with Joe Burrow so far this season.
Burrow's been nice.
That team's just not talented enough.
Burrow looks like an NFL quarterback, no question about that, but I agree with you. He just doesn't have the parts around him. At number five, it's fair that you jumped off the bandwagon after your ridiculous prediction because of all the injuries this team suffered, but man, the Broncos are bad. That's just a bad football team with a bad coach. And back in the day, we could say, but their defense was so good. At the beginning of the season, we could say, but their offense has potential. Well, now that we've seen them for a couple of games, their offense sucks, their defense sucks, and their coach sucks. That's just a bad team.
I actually think it was a little bit encouraging how they played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just Jeff Driscoll's just not good enough. He got sacked 8 times. It wasn't necessarily all the Pittsburgh pass rush. Jeff Driscoll just doesn't have very good pocket awareness. I actually thought they showed some fight against Pittsburgh once they lost their starting quarterback, but that's just not a team that's equipped to overcome the injuries that they have. No Drew Locke, no Cortland Sutton, no Von Miller. Like, if you're going to take away three of the top five players on a team that we thought was a 9-1 football team, you get what you got.
And the final score of that Pittsburgh game, you're right, was close, but it was kind of like
they battled in that game.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers were ever in danger of actually losing that football game, but it ended up being pretty close. At number four, the Dolphins. And again, the Dolphins in the next couple of years will be good. I like their draft. I like their defense. I think Tua's got a chance, but right now none of those guys are on the football field. At number three, the Giants. The Giants were a bad football team with a bad offense before Saquon Barkley went down. And if you weren't watching that game, it looked like he hyperextended his elbow literally the play before he tore his ACL. Like, it's just not in the cards for the Giants right now. Just feels like a bad fit. Not working right now in New York. Speaking of not working in New York, at number two, the Jets. The Jets are just a bad team with a bad quarterback and a bad coach. And if I asked you, Carrington, what team in the NFL has the least talent on their roster,
the
answer would be it's got to be the Jets,
not
right?
Even close.
They're absolutely pathetic. And then number one, this one's for you, Rob. The Lions.
The Lions aren't the worst team in the NFL. They're not the worst team in the league.
The Lions are so bad.
They're not good. They're not the worst team in the league.
So they built, like, they looked okay for about 10 seconds versus the Packers. And they gave up, I think it was 28 on answer, 21, whatever it was bad. And they did the same thing the week before versus the Bears. And I know the Bears are 2-0, but the Bears have Mitchell Trubisky, and they're a bad football team. Yo, the Lions were up by, 17 points in the second half that game and lost to the Bears. What's the point of building a big lead if you can't hold on to it, especially against a good football team, which the Lions are not? In fact, they're the worst. And that's today's Levine's List, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, where it's at.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, as we start to take a look ahead to the big Monday night football game between your Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Pete Sweeney joins us next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.